Doug Christie. He's Jason Ross.
Get off my lawn.
Spend your afternoons with DC and Jay Ross on Sports 1140 KHTK.
Back here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Jason Ross, Doug Christie.
You dove into the pink box. When I saw the pink box when I came in, I was like, Chris, you are the man! Because I'm thinking he brought donuts. He was like, I didn't bring donuts.
Yeah. This is what Frank brought in.
I said, forget what I said then. You are not the man. Matter of fact, you suck. Thank you. Frank, you are the man!
Yeah, he brought the first thing we had was amazing. That kind of, what as you described, it was almost like Hawaiian bread with cream filling. It was Kobe cream.
I mean, all of that, what was it? Kobe cream. Kobe cream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know what I grabbed here, but it's another little snacky thing that's got some blueberry in it.
I see you like the snacky things.
Yeah.
That's your thing?
I'm just trying something. It's in studio.
Okay. Well, so whatever's in studio,
not
you're trying.
Whatever.
Hey.
Black licorice?
Now that, my friend, is a thing.
Yeah.
Bibby's made out of black licorice.
Go ahead. All right, coming up, as we said, we'll have five on it in the next hour. Damon Hack from the Golf Channel will join us. But let's bring into the show Seth Everett.
Sethy, baby.
Yeah, a friend of ours, host of Sports with Friends, joining us here. Seth, how are you?
Oh, guys, it's been a while. You never call. You never write.
We're here, baby. We're here right now.
When was the last time someone wrote to you, Seth?
Yeah, when you got a letter.
Oh, I get letters from my kids.
And they're
at sleepaway camp. I get letters. And my kids have said, you know, they have an email system where you can email and they print it out and give it to the kids. And my kids have said, your handwriting's awful. Can you keep emailing? Don't worry.
Dr. Seth, I see. Okay.
I said, but they never said that when I write them checks.
Smart kids.
Yeah, they can read. They can read the money. Look at all the monies.
My numbers are good. My letters not so good.
Well, Seth, Doug and I, the last couple of days have been talking about Major League Baseball, and really, I think what was a great.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Great. Well, wasn't it a great couple of days between the home run derby and the All Star game?
You thought so? That's good. You know, it's funny because I didn't find it compelling.
Really? The derby.
I've been really down. I've been down on the sport the whole time, and glorifying home runs to me is masking. What is a real problem in the game. And this season has been a season dominated by strikeouts and home runs. So to then glorify home runs is a turnoff to me. I didn't like the Marlins pitcher last weekend that struck out the first 10 batters he faced. I don't like when average pitchers get double-digit strikeouts. This launch angle that these hitters have done, there have been multiple no-hitters, and I've seen a bunch of them. And what's bothered me during the no-hitters is not the eighth and ninth inning. That's a war of attrition. But it's the fifth, the sixth, the seventh inning, where in the past, what I remember as a no-hitter is the dugout of the other team going, all right, guys, buckle down. Like, forget offensive approach. Let's not let us get no hit. And what they're doing is they're flailing. And so when I tuned into the Home Run Derby for just a minute, I'm not even going to lie. It was literally because I couldn't find my remote. And the next morning, I saw the highlights of it, and I said, oh, I'm really glad that I watched Kim's Convenience because that's a better show than the Home Run Derby. And then the All-Star Game, they took away the one thing that I adore about the All-Star Game, which was the different uniforms, the team.
Yeah, we agree with that.
I always thought, you know, a kid would, you know, a young child – would be in a position where, you know, ultimately, if your team is out of it, I always think of the 11-year-old Pirates fan that goes, hey, that's my guy. And now they all look homogenized. And Twitter was trending with how ugly they were. And Rob Manfred wanted to double down. And he's just like, well, we're going to do this, double. Okay. it's fine. I just think that covering the season this year has been so disturbing that the All-Star Game didn't celebrate it. And then the garbage that came out of Stephen A. Smith's mouth really bugged me.
Yeah.
And I just think that Major League Baseball, what I want to hear from Major League Baseball is a stupid collective bargaining agreement. Get labor out of this the conversation and get COVID under control. I don't know if you guys saw, but
yeah, the
Yankees-Red Sox game was postponed and six guys tested positive, including three guys who are unvaccinated.
Wow.
And I'm not a super political guy, but come on, everyone. Can we be done with this conversation? I am so tired of COVID.
I would agree with you. Not on everything that you said, but on that last piece, I am totally with it. Shohei Ohtani, Seth. I agree about the Stephen A. part. I think it's marvelous that he is not speaking English, speaks it to his teammates. Part of it is, I think, he doesn't want things to be taken the wrong way because he says, I'm not exactly clear on everything that I want to say. But this is the biggest thing. For him to be as big as he is, Seth, it's the beautiful part of it is, it's not the language. It's the language of baseball that's speaking.
Yeah, and you know, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who I have heard is a real charming fellow. I haven't met him yet, but I heard he's great, and I liked his dad a lot. His dad is still with us. He just doesn't play anymore. he used a translator, too, and that's where I said, okay, translators are not going to ruin a sport. What, you know, how about this? Strikeouts are ruining a sport. Mm. The league batting average is 236. That's ruining a sport. The strikeout rate is over 27%. That's ruining a sport. That's what the problem is. And, you know, I'll use an NBA parallel here because even though the NBA brand has never been higher and the trendability, if that's a word, of the NBA has never been greater, the linear ratings are not rising because 50% of U.S. households have cut the cord. And of those 50%, a lot of people don't have Hulu Live or YouTube TV or Sling TV or any of those services. So what they're doing is they're consuming the NBA finals, but they're doing it on Snapchat and they're doing it on TikTok and they're doing it on Instagram. And that's how they're consuming. Well, if you think about a sport that trends having that problem, what about a sport that only skews older? Mm. And that's where we see this divide. And, you know, I joke when people tell me that, you know, you guys spend the last couple of days talking baseball. Isn't it amazing that the NBA finals are going on at the same time? Yeah. Because if it wasn't, do you think baseball is compelling enough in 2021 to sustain conversations like it used to? Mm. And I'm not comparing it to 1985. Like, I'm not this old man sitting on my porch. I'm comparing it to 2008. Here's a statistic. In 2018, Major League Baseball had 11,000 less balls hit in play than 2008. Now, you guys all remember 2008. Like, that wasn't that long ago.
Right.
And if you've seen that dichotomy, that change, the average amount of time between balls hit in play is just a shade under 4 minutes.
Wow.
God, that's a song. That's a song. And so when you see all those things, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but when you see all those things, I am saddened by all of it because I'd like to see stolen bases and I'd like to see defensive plays. I'd like to see what's charming about baseball, not the home run.
I totally agree with you. I came in the other day and the A's ran a squeeze play and I was just like, oh my goodness!
Oh my God!
Where are you at on the shift?
I don't know what that is.
Where are you at on the shift?
Well, for a long time I have said that because they're teaching launch angle the way they are to beat the shift, I would say that I would outlaw the shift. The thought process is that. Let's do step one to get to step two. Step one is launch angle is the arc in which the bat crosses the body. And the hitters today are taught that their priority is the angle in which the bat crosses the body, not contact. So it's okay to swing and miss because if you do make contact, you're going to drive the ball really far. And so that's the line of thinking. The reason that was created was because of the shift, because they say that if you're just trying to make contact, we know, because we have these great statistics, we know where you're going to hit the ball. So if you're a pull hitter and you pull the ball 85% of the time, we're going to put a fielder where you're going to hit the ball. And that's why the batting averages are so low. And so what I would do is I would outlaw the shift because I do not think you can police it any other way. You know, the older generation has said to me on social media and on radio shows, they say to me, well, why don't you just, you know, hit a ball the opposite way? Well, they're not teaching that. They're not teaching the young kids that. So Aaron Judge is not going to do that. Anthony Rizzo is not going to do that. So what I would do is an imaginary line from the point of home plate to straightaway center field, and the only players that can play on both sides of the line are the center fielder, the pitcher, and the catcher. And if you did that, I'd see the batting average go from 235 to maybe 245. But think about how many extra balls that is hit and play. And think about the 11,000 number, because I can accept a sport that has 5,000 less balls hit and play. 11,000 is too many.
Yeah. Seth, I'm curious on that end then. So if we kind of flip it to pitching, right now I think it's Lance Lynn here in San Francisco or in this area, Kevin Gausman, certainly Jacob DeGrom, all sub-2 ERA. Are they historically good, or is this just a byproduct of kind of what you just said?
It's a great question. Now, Jacob DeGrom babysat my kid once, so
he's a legend.
Oh, he's the man.
He's an icon. What I have said a lot about a lot of the pitching records is they were harder back in the day. There was a guy who struck out, I think it was 15 straight or something like that, and it compared in a record to Tom Seaver. Now, Aaron Nola, that was the guy for the Phillies. Mm-hmm. Aaron Nola in today's game is 7 times the athlete that Tom Seaver was, from a pure physical specimen. But Tom Seaver striking out 10 in a row was harder because when the guys got 2 strikes, they choked up on the bat, they shortened their swings, and all they tried to do was stay alive. But what you see now, and what I ask your listeners, is when you see these massive strikeout games, watch the approach when you get to 2 strikes and see how these hitters are literally, the only word I can use is flailing because of the stupid launch angle. And what you're doing is it just shows that you don't care. And I hate saying that about athletes because, I have such respect for athletes. Doug, the respect I have for your career. I have always been someone who reveres athletes. But what I don't like is I'm seeing this approach. And at the end, Billy Sample told me once, a longtime outfielder, played for the Texas Rangers, the Yankees. Billy Sample said that in the late 70s, when he was with the Texas Rangers, if you struck out, you were not allowed to utilize the services of the bat boy. You had to carry your own bat back to the dugout in shame. And now, in sabermetrics, the way it works is if you have an 8 or 9 pitch at bat, even if the 9th pitch is a swinging strike 3, you just burn 9 pitches of the other team. Yeah. That's considered a productive out.
Wow.
And hey, as a baseball fan, as someone who grew up in the sport, that offends me.
Was DeGrom a good babysitter, by the way?
He watched my daughter for 25 minutes because a security guard that was going to watch my daughter, she was 6 at the time, had to go because some guy tried to scale the fence at Citi Field. And Jacob DeGrom knew I couldn't bring my daughter into Terry Collins' office. So he came out. He was a rookie that year. And he said he'd watch her, and they played Jack. And when he won the Cy Young Award, the next season in 2015, people would ask me on the radio, what do you make of Jacob DeGrom? I go, great, he babysat my kids.
Well done. With Seth Everett right here, host of Sports with Friends. We've heard all the stuff about Angel Hernandez, umpire, automated strike zones, all these different things. Your take on Angel, and are we headed towards automated strike zones?
Well, automated strike zones don't appeal to me because I just think that it would be slower. One thing I would get rid of is the manager's challenge. If you've ever watched a play that's close, what happens is the manager goes out and stalls so that the replay team, for whatever team that is, says, yes, challenge that, we'll win. What I would say is take the challenge system out of the way. And in the amount of time it took me to explain that, you could have already checked. Mm-hmm. And again, we're trying to speed things up. If you're telling me that the automated strike zone would speed things up. I don't see the practical application of that. I'm waiting for the first server error. What I have said for decades now, is baseball has this thing called umpire accountability, where there are evaluators that go to every game and they write these anonymous evaluations of all these umpires. And I used to talk to Bud Selig about this all the time, and he got so annoyed with me. I said, make those umpire evaluations public and find out what the percentage of bad evaluations are, and let's weed out bad umpires. I am pro-umpire, and I'm pro-umpires union, but I just think if your batting average goes on the scoreboard, if you're standing at the free throw line, everybody knows what your free throw average is. But if you're an umpire, no one knows what your record is, how many calls you messed up. And it's something that baseball knows, and they're not telling them.
Big secret. We're pro Seth Everett.
You the man, Seth. Appreciate Seth, you, brother.
We appreciate catching up with you. We're going to have to do this again soon.
I would love it. You guys know how to find me, and I won't write you anything.
And we won't expect it. All right, that is Seth Everett, host of Sports with Friends, joining us. We appreciate him. Still to come, Damon Hack to join us. Five on it as well. But, DC, when we come back, Russell and Wilson, Pete Carroll, better than ever. Who knew?
Okay.
We'll explain. That's next on KHDK.
Hey, you'd be surprised, man. Some people, and I'm not always like, I know that song.
Yeah, I'm not.
To our text line, upside down, you turn me. Okay, that's all you get. Who sung that? Holler back at us.
Okay, we'll see. Like Doug put the challenge
Jason,
up.
Just so you know,
I
Jason.
Got it in one note.
He got that in one note. Yeah. Me and her were kind of. No.
It's family.
Not really.
It's family for me.
I met her daughter, actually, Tracy.
You did?
Yeah. Damn, I just gave it away. Damn it.
Hey, Capital Casino is back with indoor gaming and dining located inside at 411 North 16th Street in downtown Sacramento. This day, Thursday, let's see what else we got for you. And this day, 1948, Doug, Alcoholic Anonymous was founded in Britain.
I saw that and I was like, wow.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that. That's exactly what I was like, huh, okay, I got you. Brian Austin Green, 48 today.
Okay.
What else? Oh, I said give me something away today.
Where are you with the upcoming NFL season and your quarterback and your coach, Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll?
I think now you're there and you're trying to make it right in many ways. And Russell, I think that was real.
Real meaning he wanted out or wanted more real, power, real. Whatever he was looking for?
That's actually a good point. Was it the power or was it the wanting out? Because if you think about it, like
big
Russell,
difference.
You could go to a lot of different places, and Pete Carroll is a great coach, and his energy at 60, whatever he is awesome, they say, and the guys love him. You can go and not make the playoffs, but you've made the playoffs every year. I believe we made it every year since he's been in Seattle. Like, that doesn't happen everywhere. So if you want to go and vibe something different. So in that regard, I think you said something that was on. I think it may have been the power. And the power part of it is I'm watching what's going on with Aaron
Rodgers,
and I'm watching what happened with Tom Brady, and I'm watching these different things, and I want that. I want some of the power. But I got to think, a lot of pushback, because when we think about it, when he came in, it wasn't because of him that we were winning. It was a Legion of Boom. It was the defense. It was everything. It was Marshawn Lynch running the football. It was all of that. And then when we go to the second Super Bowl, which we should have won back-to-back, it was said that they didn't want to hand it off to Marshawn because they wanted Russell to win the MVP. And if that is correct, that's why it happened the way that he happened. That's just that's karma. This particular instance, I just think that a lot of what I saw was, I don't know what that locker room is going to be like right now. And I have to think that Pete is going to do the same fabulous job that he always does. But does Russell have control of that locker room? Is he the guy? Do the guys trust him in that way? But don't reel it back now. You were where you were, and I get it. I was okay with it. I was like, man, it sucks, but that's where you want to be. Do you? And now it kind of seems like, no.
Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
Well, here, let's hear from Russell Wilson on his relationship right now with Pete Carroll.
You know, Pete and I, we've always had a great bond, but, you know, we got to have a great heart-to-heart. And just, you know, he's got goals. I have goals. You know, we want to do great things, you know. So to actually, you know, really dive into those and really talk about, you know those missions, those goals, it was fun. So, you know, and so I think me and Coach Carroll's relationship is stronger than ever.
Okay. So there's Russell on that part. Also about if he thought he would be on the move.
Did you ever think you were going to be traded in the offseason?
I think that anytime in sports, there's a potential of being traded. You know, I think there's always a real opportunity of that. But, you know, I think that, you know, I've always wanted to be in Seattle. I've always loved being there. And it's a place that I've always wanted to play. So it's been great.
That was from the Dan Patrick Show. And Russell does a good job of never directly answering questions. But I don't know. I don't know if we ever really know what Russell Wilson truly thinks.
Do you say that because he keeps the company face on?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean,
go Hawks.
Yeah, I think there's probably some truth. I don't know that Pete Carroll's really, as much as I give him grief for being a USC, like, he's probably very likable.
Pete?
Yes.
Yeah, from my understanding.
And I think Russell probably is in general.
Right.
But can they disagree on things? Sure, but I don't know if we'll ever get that answer ever from Russell Wilson.
Yeah, the power aspect is it's really interesting one because of the head coach in NFL for so long. That's the power structure. That's how it has been. And in these last, well, especially this offseason, we've seen the athlete and especially the quarterback step up a little bit more, have a little bit more power. And I thought that's what, in many ways, Russell was flexing and trying to accomplish because his name had been put out there, I guess, behind the scenes that he found out that maybe they were thinking about moving him. Maybe that's the reason he was vibing that way. What's up, Brother Jake?
The point, Russell Wilson's lying, in my opinion, from the first point. I think any
time, relationship with the coach?
No, okay. About the fact that he never wanted to leave Seattle.
Oh, I got you, yeah.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah, exactly. But anytime you come out with a list of certain amount of teams,
you've
thought about it.
Yep.
And someone that you've spoken to, no matter if that's your significant other, your child, your friend, it's out. Someone got it out, right? What's interesting about Russell Wilson, and this is something that you guys can talk about, is Russell Wilson is kind of one of the, what's the word I'm looking for? He's one of the glamour boys of the NFL when it comes to the quarterback position.
Well, now he is. He wasn't that in the beginning. Sierra gave him a facelift.
He's been that way, okay,
for a good couple
of
years, though.
3 to 5 years, though.
Well, that's when she came on the scene.
Okay. Well, but, I mean, he's one of those guys. Well, Has this hurt him?
In that realm?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Well, unless he goes and produces. Because think about Let Russ Cook, and it was happening, and the winning wasn't the same, and then Pete kind of took over, and all of a sudden we were kind of rolling again a little bit. Like, it has to be the production. Like, we know you want the MVP and all that and the votes, and I get that, but you've had really good success. Why you would want something different? Is it because you want something? Do you want the accolades and all that? Is that what it is that you're looking for? Because you're a really good quarterback on a really good team, and you got a coach that's behind you, a city that's behind you. There's a lot to like if I'm in that position.
Yeah, he's likable. What is the Q rating? I think people would rate him high, but who is he? Do we know him? Like, what? Who is? I don't feel like we. I feel there's a guard with him.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't know.
I think we know quite a bit about him when it comes to personal. Well, because you're saying we.
But all the answers are kind of that.
Yeah.
You know, the Go Hawks.
I think the Sierra thing has kind of helped him in the fact that he's crossed over to be more likable. And I think that's what I'm saying. Like, to me, he's one of the, and I'm looking for the proper word, but he's one of the NFL's quarterbacks that they like to put out there. Mm-hmm. Like, he's one of those guys they want to.
Which is,
he's not a bad
because
boy.
He has,
you know, he's not Big Ben. He's
because
not,
he didn't get the MVP votes for a while. So to put me out there, we'll come back.
Yeah. All right, we've got more to get to, including baseball's second half. We've got some predictions there. Look back at the NBA Finals. Where do we go from here with that? More This Day Thursday and 5 on It coming up at the top of the hour. We're back with more after this on KHDK. Oh, I know.
So
real.
Selfish.
Doug Christie. No.
Oh, I need to
yes, sir.
Correct the real Doug Christie.
Uh-oh.
Why?
You said that Pete Carroll has made the playoffs every...
No, I said I thought. Was there... Well,
you're wrong.
We have our fact checker, Christopher Lodd.
Well, of course he wants to check something like that, of all things.
He has missed out on the playoffs twice.
Hold on. I didn't say Pete Carroll. What I said was Russell Wilson.
Oh, Russell Wilson.
Yeah,
so now you're changing.
No, I didn't change it. If you want to go back and listen to the sound, you can hear the sound because you recorded the sound. And the people heard the sound. And on YouTube in a second, they're going to say, Doug, you're right. You did say Russell Wilson made the playoffs.
So you're going to change the parameters. Okay.
Okay.
Hey, just for both of you.
And they missed in 2017, so.
For both of you.
So he missed once. Oh, okay.
For both of you, earlier on a topic of from their text line, the original gummy bear was started in 1922 in Germany. The ones that we know of now were created in 1967.
Okay.
It said, boom, Google that.
Okay.
What's my favorite word? Yeah.
Yeah, my favorite word, too. Yeah, I'm with you. Gummy bear, gummy worm, though, not so much. I don't know that. I don't know the date or the time.
Speaking of this day, Thursday, you wanted me to say this earlier, Doug. 1988, you brought up that date. Die Hard.
Die Hard.
Was released in the U.S. So it was released on this date.
On this date.
July.
Really?
In July. Christmas movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In July.
Never saw it. No, I'm just playing.
I think we saw it at Thanksgiving. My team. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking. Die Hard. That's what was my man's name in the limo?
Oh,
come on. Come on. You ain't seen it?
No, I've seen it. Die Hard's not that do it for me.
Yeah, I was by the way, last night.
Whatever.
Your boy went with Life.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I see him. I just can't. I don't have it.
Chris, y'all know this?
Don't worry.
I'm waiting for you guys to figure it out.
Text line got it. That's how that.
Text line got Diana Ross, by the way.
Oh, did they? Well done.
Ooh. Like if you've got like a pattern type of sock.
Argyle. Oh, look at you, Chris. Well played, sir. Well played.
Didn't have it.
Dang it.
By the way, yesterday's.
They were actually in a battery commercial recently.
Who?
Argyle.
Oh, yeah. And you're right.
And Bruce Willis.
What battery? It's your easiest question I just asked you.
Yep.
What battery? Car battery.
Yeah, I know. It was a car battery.
What's the name of the movie?
Die Hard.
Is that the name of the battery?
Yes. Man, you've been an athlete a little too long now. When the last time you got a battery and checked it out and pulled it out yourself?
Oh, that thing, that's not a thing. You know what I did do the other day, though? I jumped a car.
For someone?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did they know who you were?
I got kicked. What?
I'm being asking a real question. Did they know who you were?
I hope she does. I'm married to her.
Oh.
You buried the lead. I was thinking along with Jay that it was someone on the side of the road, and you did a nice gesture.
I was a little upset. I'm like, the problem is you don't drive it enough. Let's go. Well,
there you go.
I only got one. I'm driving mine daily.
I was thinking, how is this not a story? Who was it, JFU? Like, Derek Carr saved something. Like, a guy said, I got pulled over, and I was in trouble. And
I was thinking we saw this on the beat by now or something. Yeah.
Oh, no. Would I? Of course. Okay. But, you got to keep jumper cables in the truck.
Absolutely.
Just in case.
Always.
You never know.
Never know.
Okay. Yesterday, guys, we had the over-under on KHK.com, which was for DeAndre Ayton. Remember, 75% or better.
75 or better, you and I went under.
Correct.
How do you do?
3 for 9.
Bad game.
No. Under. Just say we're right. Don't do that.
Right because he had a bad game.
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
He had a great game. Great game shooting.
Well, maybe he played. See, the problem is you look at that aspect and that dictates where he had a great game. He might have played well on the defensive end.
They did shoot 51% on the road and lost.
Well, that's because DeAndre Ayton had a bad game.
Booker was efficient. Chris Paul, but a lot of guys, Cam Johnson, Cameron Payne, 4-6, 4-7.
Man,
Craig
Cam Johnson, man.
He's nice.
He is.
He's nice.
I remember a video. We talked about this. watching him when he was coming out, and it was talking about his footwork in the corner shooting the three. And I, right then I was like, man, this kid, he can shoot the ball. It was so efficient. And, man, he has actually demonstrated that he can do a little more.
I thought about this a lot during the season. I didn't think about this yesterday until actually I saw Carmichael Dave tweet this. But there were so many times where the Kings would play somebody this year, Doug, and I go, man, imagine the Bulls with Kobe White, LaVine, and Tyrese Halliburton.
Mm.
They could have had him. Or the Knicks with some of those guys and Tyrese Halliburton.
Yep.
The Suns could have had him at 10. They took Jalen Smith, who they don't use now, and maybe he's part of their – but right now, this team with him?
Stop it.
I'm thankful he's a King, but I just go, man.
That's
a
why.
Lot of times the Kings, we would go, how did they not take Giannis? How did they not take Clay? How did they not
take
Lillard?
Well, I can see Giannis not taking him.
Or whoever the list. But you know my point. And, like, for these teams, I just wonder, you know, I'm sure the Timberwolves are happy with Edwards and the Hornets should be happy with Ball. But a couple of these other teams, I'm going, man, you could have had him.
Yeah, but oddly enough, he and Booker, both their work ethic.
Yeah.
That's what puts you on. You don't stand a chance without it. I'm going to tell you that. And even if you have it, it ain't guaranteed.
Yeah. Quick thought on that before we get into some – all right, Chris, do you have our over-under for today, though, on KHDK.com?
I do. We were late on sporting events today.
Yes, especially one of the ones that got canceled already.
But tonight is the Gold Cup game between the U.S. and Martinique. U.S. over-under 3.5 goals against Martinique.
Okay, so here's I need a little inside from you. 3.5 seems high.
Yes.
But you're comfortable putting that number. What are they? That's probably what they should be getting, right around 3 to 4 goals?
Yeah. Well, Canada beat them 4-1 earlier.
Okay.
And
take the over.
U.S. should be better than Canada.
Jay just comes right in and says take the over. DC, where are you landing on that 3.5 goals?
He said 3.5?
Yep.
Yeah, give me the over. I think we about to tear up. I say we go 4 goals. Yeah. Yeah,
Martinique, we could probably go out there and compete against
easy. Don't disrespect Martinique, man.
Hey, there are no blowouts, signed Popovich.
These are all.
So you guys are both going over?
Yeah.
I'm going over.
If they were in Martinique, I'd go under because they might turn up.
Row team.
Martinique, Team USA might put 5 on the floor.
Yeah. I'm doing this strictly to be contrarian. I'm taking the under. I don't know. Right now on KHK.com, you can go vote there. 57% are with you guys. 43% are on the under.
Yeah.
So 3 goals is still a good game.
Okay.
But you need 4.
Yes, sir.
I'm rooting for 10, so I'll just take the under, though. Let's look at the second half of the baseball season, DC, and look at some things that we can expect. As we mentioned, one of our top stories earlier, baseball is supposed to go tonight. A team I support, the New York Yankees. Really, it's an important series for them. I know there's a lot of baseball left. I think they got the Red Sox 8 times over the next couple of weeks. Game 1 is done. Not happening. It's been canceled, DC, because of COVID-19 concerns. And now we're hearing some of the names attached to this. And not that it should matter who the names are, but they're regulars for the Yankees. You got Urshela in there. You got Aaron Judge that have tested positive. And just another reminder that we are not completely out of the woods here with COVID.
Aaron Judge makes it very interesting.
How so? Oh, from the All-Star weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
true. So you have someone right in the All-Star game that tested positive.
Which I got to believe, again, was negative. I mean, I'm sure they're doing testing there, but doesn't mean.
What if he caught it there?
Right, exactly. And a lot of people around there. Man, and I know that sports feel like they've turned the corner. Don't you feel like that sports feel that way, whether society does or not? And some are. I never even really believed in this. Okay. But I feel like sports in general, we're seeing full venues, a return to full venues. The California Classic's coming. They're expected to have as many people as possibly can fit in there. I don't know.
I think that the Yankees are going to be better for this.
Stop it.
You can't just leave it at that.
All the money that they spent, it obviously hasn't helped them.
He's talking about money, I guess.
46 and 43. See what those M's are. Ah! I'll let you look for
yourself.
They're going
to be better for having COVID?
No, for losing
the
these big-time players. Yeah, no Aaron Judge. They'll be better for that.
An all-star.
Yeah, he's an all-star. Is he a team player?
Yes.
I know. I'm just giving you a bad time. Cut it out. Yeah.
As we looked at the second half,
I would agree with Chris, though. That is really questionable when you're at the All-Star game. It looked like those guys were real close quarters. A lot of love. I mean, really.
Everybody's comfortable. It was fun.
And, like, I saw how many do you think that stadium seated? 30?
Yeah, 40? Probably 30 to 40.
Yeah, and it was absolutely packed. I didn't see a mask. I'm watching the game rerun right now, and it looks like everybody down on the court that are fans, most of them have masks on. We're talking NBA right now.
Yeah.
In baseball, I did not see that. So that would scare me, like what Chris said. Like, these guys are close quarters for Aaron Judge, who is big time. So what I'm saying is, as big time as a player as Aaron Judge is, everyone's going up to him. Hey, what's up? Hey, how you want to give a little love? Can I get a pound? And if you're feeling, you know, whatever, you might give him a hug. A couple of them, no vaccination?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Well, the Yankees have been nothing but a disappointment. At 46 and 43, like you said, Doug, they're a team that, honestly, you joke about it, but you're right. The amount of money you spend, the amount of expectations that they have, they probably feel like, okay, maybe Tampa or maybe one team in the American League East could be having a year ahead of them, but they've got Boston, Tampa, Toronto all ahead of them. The only team they're ahead of is one of baseball's worst teams, which is Baltimore. So I think they've been disappointing this year. I think the Braves have been disappointing so far this season.
That messed up one of my bold predictions.
Which was?
I had the Yankees making the playoffs. Thought they were going to make a run here.
Yeah.
That one.
Can they do it in the second half?
That's what I was saying. That's what I was thinking. I was like, okay, Yankees are going to – this is going to be a time where we watch them move right on in. This, obviously, Judge is part of what scares pitchers and everything. So thank you for screwing up my bold prediction.
I want to go back and find our staff picks because
– Yeah, my guy tore his ACL.
Acuna, that was he was having a great season.
He was too. I was on the money. Not that he was going to get the MVP, but I was right there. So I don't have, I didn't get all five, Jay. But another bold prediction. I'm going to go Shohei Ohtani. Now this is if he plays all these games, I'm going to go 55 home runs for Mr. Shohei. So that would be second half. He's 20 is what he needs.
He's at 33, 22.
I had the Yankees make the playoffs. I got Mets going for broke. I think the Mets are going to give it a shot. They're going to go
for
that
going.
Thing.
Someone's swinging here.
Yeah. I got the A's make a trade, and they make a push. And I'm going to say the Giants fall off. I don't know why.
And out or fall off?
Off and out.
Wow.
Yeah. That's
I mean, the
well, you
best.
Said bold. My man said
bold
prediction,
that's
right?
Bold.
Okay, I'm trying to do what my producer said, okay? Yeah. Let me live over here.
I want to relive our preseason, right? This is a good time. So we just take the show group. We had all of KHDK on KHDK.com. All of our staff do it. But let's see. Let's go with we had an A's record prediction for everybody here. Okay. I went 91 and 71. Chris had 89 and 73. Jay, you had 89 and 73. And Doug had 82 and 80. So Doug had the low, I had the high, you and Chris were the same. Giants, unless Doug's fall off happens, we are all going to be the most off here. The low is Doug at 72 and 90. I had 73 and 89. Jay, you were 77 and 85. Chris gave him the most wins at 78 and 84.
I mean, the clubhouse didn't have much more than that. They didn't. Now, I'm just joking. They all believe in themselves, but... No, I don't think anyone saw this coming. And to their credit, give them credit because they've established that they are real. This second half is going to tell you everything that you need to know. And I just, like, I'm watching the Dodgers. I'm watching the Padres behind them.
Dodgers are playing much better.
Yeah, and I think the Padres are going to make a little bit of a run. Who might be that other team? Say the Mets, Brewers. They still might make it, but the point is, that's my bold prediction.
If we look at our MVP choices, you just mentioned it, Doug, that you and Jay both had Ronald Acuna.
Jay had him. I
were tracking that. I mean,
yeah.
He was on the list. Chris has Tatis, which on the list for sure right now.
Sure, no.
And I had Freddie Freeman.
That's a good pick.
And then the American League, Doug, you went Mike Trout. Chris went Mike Trout. Jay, you had George Springer, and I had Tim Anderson.
We're all none of them.
No. Yeah, we're all wrong.
Who, someone had Vlad. Oh, Matt George had Vlad Guerrero Jr. None of us had there. Shohei. Man, so it's, to me, it's Guerrero or Shohei at the moment.
Yeah.
Cy Young.
See, I think on this, my Cy Young and MVP for AL got mixed up.
Let's see.
Shohei? He took Shohei?
Did he? No.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
National League Cy Young.
He didn't believe he was Patrick Mahomes of baseball then.
He didn't.
I got it.
Doug, you and I both took Jacob DeGrom. Chris took Yu Darvish. Jay has Walker Buehler. In the American League, Doug, Chris, and myself all took Garrett Cole. And Jay, you took Lucas Giolito.
Lucas.
And then our AL champions, I took the Yankees. Chris took the Yankees. Doug took the Yankees. Jay has the White Sox, who have the best record in the AL,
yes,
or second best? Best,
I think second.
They're up there. Look. And then in the National League, I took the Braves. 54. Whoops.
They are second right now behind the – nope, second behind the Red Sox and the Astros, both at 55
and 36.
Yeah.
Central's terrible.
Doug took the Dodgers. Jay and Chris both took San Diego. We all had a different World Series winner. I took the Yankees. Chris took the Padres. Jay, you took the White Sox. And Doug, you have the Dodgers.
Yep.
I'm going to live.
You can live with that one.
Yeah, I'm going to live
with
that.
Leave that in place there. I'm in trouble in mine, yep, for sure.
Unless they got to face San Diego in the playoffs. Nah. It seemed like San Diego, little brother, done stepped up, baby.
I wonder if on the A's front, it's probably good that they had a terrible start, rebounded, looked like the best team in the division, and now that they're 3.5 back, I think they know they have to do something. Because they're good, and they're really good, Jay, in the past of doing kind of the subtle –
we'll do the same thing.
Get a middle relief guy.
Yeah, but I
or
think the
like
subtle
that.
Thing this time, Jay, means a little more.
That's, no, it doesn't.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay.
But one of my projections for them is, and this is one of my projections there, I think both the A's and the Giants make the wild card spot, and they both lose for the wild card game.
The wild card game. Okay. Yeah.
The A's won't do nothing.
No.
Nothing spectacular.
Okay.
A lot of people pushing for Nelson Cruz. I think that's the biggest move they can make unless they go real big and try to get, Trevor Story or something. But I think the A's believe in Elvis Andrews. He's played better. You just can't win a championship with Elvis Andrews right now. To me. That's just me.
Yeah. That's definitely
one of my projections. I think they both
And
wild
I wouldn't
carded.
Think Cruz is enough. Like He's
been not.
A, like, that's a nice bat to have in your lineup. But
is Story a Gold Glove?
I don't know where he's been, but he's good. I mean, good
he's
shortstop.
Good. Yeah. He's good.
Plus, he can
take
that thing deep.
Yeah.
I still think they need bullpen help. Just more. Something
yeah, they
more
do.
In the back end of the bullpen. Starting pitching's fine. I mean,
what's
always
a,
everybody wants better.
What's a bullpen move that would be substantial enough that might make you go, okay?
I don't know. It's too
I mean, the way the playoffs go, I feel like, especially like when you look at a team like the Rays, they just have like six guys that can throw 100.
Yeah.
And so there might be the one closer – but they were doing it like, hey, if we get five innings, fine, we got you. We're going to shut you down the last four, and we're going to throw 100 at every guy, and we're just going to beat you that way. And the A's don't do that. They try to get longer quality innings, but it seems like the playoffs have grown into, let's just get a couple of quality innings and get to our bullpen, and our bullpen's going to dominate.
Yeah.
And I don't think the A's, that would be getting couple of guys that way, and I don't think that's what they'll do.
I think the A's go by committee. As long as they get a starter that gives them about six innings, they're good. It's just, can you do that in the playoffs? And Jay may be right. I mean, this is his team, so he knows them better than we do. But the point is that get to the wild card and lose. I just think that if they make the proper move, they might get past where you're thinking,
Jay. Don't worry about it. One of my other predictions, I don't think the A's, minus Matt Olson, I don't think anybody hits over 250 this year.
And that's kind of team-wide, but certainly for them. And
I think he's the only person who hits over 250 this year for the A's.
Yeah, and it feels like they need Chapman to do it. And it's just 250. You're not saying 275, 280.
Yeah.
And that was a number 250.
He's at 240.
You wouldn't have played really much. You'd have been a bench guy. But
pretty much. A couple, I got DeGrom wins the MVP. I think he wins the Cy Young and the MVP.
Ooh.
I think the Giants fall under 10 games under 500. On the second,
you with
oh,
me?
In the second half.
In the second half.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they
schedule's tougher.
They played a Padres and a Giant. The Dodgers 10 times each. They've yet to face the Mets, yet to face
who I think is going to make a push. So that's
Milwaukee,
a tough...
I believe. They've missed two or three other division leaders that they have not played at all.
Yeah.
They play Astros, A's. I just don't see them doing
it. You think I could be onto something, but you think they're going to make the wild card?
I think, yeah. Because
they have such a good cushion right now.
Yeah. Yeah. The problem is the rest of, and this is one of my other bold predictions, I think in the NAL, both the other divisions will have winners who don't win 90 games.
Okay. In the Central and the East?
I think, yeah. I think the Mets right now are 47 and 44 or something, and Milwaukee's 52 and something, but
you might get either two over 100 in the West and a third over 90.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even. Giants and, yeah. I think the both division leaders in the NL minus the NL West will not win 90
games.
So NL
West gets everything is what you're saying.
I think all three of them get in.
Division leader and two wild cards?
Yeah, okay. I think they get all three of them in.
So
yeah.
Are all – who's is which division is going to change? Boston's up a game and a half.
I think Tampa beats Boston.
Okay.
And I think –
White Sox up eight.
Yeah, they're winning.
That's huge. And they're the best team.
Yeah.
Astros, 3.5 on the A's.
I don't think they – unless the A's do something different and really go for it, which I don't think they're going to. Because my thing is this. The A's have shown very rarely, as you said, you think the Mets are going all out, D.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The A's rarely show that they go all out. They've done it twice. And that I can remember.
You know what's going to hurt is if they move and then they start doing this.
Well, they're going to because there's more money.
Yeah. And you guys, don't be disrespectful.
Oh, the Mariners, 7 back. They can do it.
That's right.
I
not so much.
Yeah, well, I mean, what are we talking about? Finishing at 75, 80 game? What are they doing?
I have the Angels in second place in the West.
No way.
Behind what?
Either the Astros or the A's.
No, I meant
they're going to be second place behind the – they're going to be right behind the Mariners.
Trout's going to come back. They're going to improve there.
Oh, man. You're more likely to catch a sturgeon.
Also, I got a couple downers.
Okay.
I like the downers.
There will be another pitcher suspended.
That I believe. Oh, I believe that.
I'm going to say three.
Oh, man. You guys, hard on them.
And there are definitely going to be more COVID postponements.
Definitely.
I think we get to 10.
That's the one that's just like, ow.
We're going to get to 10 no-hitters. There's that 7.
What was the line on your text when you sent that to me, Chris, or us, about COVID?
Here we go again.
Here we go again. And I just went, I kind of knew as soon as I saw it. Before I clicked it, I was thinking to myself, no way. And as soon as it popped up, I said, damn.
Here's one. I was thinking of it, and I was trying to figure out, but it's almost kind of like, okay. I think the World Series participants, the teams, will both come from a city that has two teams in the market.
Okay. So it's Chicago, LA, New York, LA.
Chicago.
Correct. I think the White Sox win it, and I think you'll either see the Mets or the Dodgers.
Wow. Okay. I like it.
You mean the
Unfortunately,
Yankees.
Washington.
No, don't worry about that. You guys might not have played enough games at this moment.
Yeah.
They're in trouble.
Hey,
trouble
it doesn't no matter because you guys sit out anyway.
I liked it when you were talking about their money better. All right, we'll take the break. We'll come back. Five on it is next here on KHDK.